Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair for our weekly call to quarters for muster. My greetings today go out to the captain and crew in the Coast Guard cutter Polar Star. And that's because Polar Star has completed her mission to break into the U.S. base at McMurdo on the Ross Sea side of the Antarctic continent. And this year she had to build a channel from the ice edge of 38 miles. 38 miles of fast ice. Fast ice is ice which is connected to the shore. It's not out floating around. It is connected to the shore, and I can only imagine what it looks like when you are at the ice edge and you know you've got almost 40 nautical miles to break to get into the U.S. base at McMurdo. Polar Star is 49 years old. Next year will be her half-century mark, and next year they will celebrate that probably down on the ice. That's a particularly long channel to have to build, and that's the reason why Polar Star is down there and why all of us who have done that work go down there, and that is to bring the supply ships into the base at McMurdo so that they have the fuel and the stores to continue to be operating for the next year until the following year when the same process happens. 1 year when I was down there with my Northwind, which was not nearly as powerful a ship as Polar Star, I did a channel of 25 miles, and it took me 2 weeks to do it because it was solid backing and ramming for 2 weeks. Polar Star, when she kicks in the gas turbines in particular, can handle much thicker ice, and that's what happened this year. I don't know how long it took them to do it. It certainly didn't take them any 2 weeks. So a well done to Polar Star, her captain, and her crew. And there was no report of any material casualties. That doesn't mean they didn't have them. It just means that they've not been significant enough to report to the rest of the polar world. And even more to the point, they were not significant enough to impede her from accomplishing her mission. And so I take this opportunity to repeat my own operational philosophy over all the years of my command career, and that is that you accomplish the mission and you take care of the people that are entrusted to you to accomplish that mission or those missions. Both of those elements are mutually inclusive. They must both happen at the same time. And clearly that is what has happened with Polar Star. A well done to, and Bravo Zulu to all hands. I hope they have a safe and enjoyable voyage home, that they make a couple of good port calls. In my own experience, when I came back from that particular deep freeze, we had almost no casualties and certainly nothing that we couldn't handle with our own crew. And we were steaming back from Antarctica and headed toward Wellington, New Zealand. And we got into a really bad storm, and Northwind opened up a crack across the main deck forward. And by the time that we could get everything under control, she had put a lot of free surface water in a compartment much higher than it was comfortable doing it. And so we had to do some welding and patching and pumping right around Macquarie Island. Take a look at it in your Google Earth. Go to Google Earth and look for Macquarie Island. We were going into Macquarie to relieve that station. The Kiwis had some weather birds that were living there and doing weather reporting from there. The medical list today is a good one in that two people are coming off of it. One of my most faithful listeners who has been able to correct at least pro tem a couple of conditions has sent me a signal, and he said, Captain Joe, please remove me from the binnacle list to make room for others and more worthy, more needing. So, Josh, I have now done that, and I am removing myself from the binnacle list, not because all is corrected, not because I've been able to issue CASCOR, which is a euphemism for casualty corrected, but because things are moving along in a noticeable fashion. And it must be honestly reported, sometimes with the help of this magic elixir, which, as I had said before, with some irony, cannabis-based. It has no psychic effect. They seem to have been able to withdraw from the magic elixir, whatever it is that does that. But it certainly has helped a lot. And here I am sitting in the captain's chair in the Gene Bosch studio on the Voice of Vashon, 101.9 on the FM band, and streaming live all over the world on voiceofvashon.org. I had a wonderful experience over the last weekend. A lady who was up until then not known to me had sent me a signal, and she said that her husband was celebrating his birthday. They were staying in one of our quarters out at Point Robinson Light Station. Would I be able to join them and give a tour of the Point Robinson Lighthouse as part of the birthday celebration? So the mention of birthdays and the ending of one year and the beginning of another is always a signal for me to figure out a way to help out, and I was delighted to be able to do that. At the appointed day and the appointed hour, I was down at the lighthouse, and this lovely family appeared before me. And I had told them that whenever I do reserve tours like this, because we're outside of the season, I don't begin my regular Sunday tours until Mother's Day this year, which is also Kite Day, in which I will be flying my dragonfly kite, or I will be enlisting some people to fly the dragonfly. Takes a little skill to fly the dragonfly. It's heavy. It needs about 15, 20 knots of wind to get it up and keep it up. So this lovely family appeared before me, and I had told them that when I did reserve tours like this, that if there were other people who were looking wistfully in the lighthouse as the tour was going on, that I always invited them to join us. And that's exactly what happened. We had a series of people come in. And I talk in particular about this family because there were two elements to it which were particularly attractive and appealing to me. And if they're listening today, for which I thank them publicly from the captain's chair. The first one was that they were very appreciative and very interested in the way that we were taking care of Point Robinson Light, and in particular the quarters, which we have renovated, the quarters in which the keeper and his family and the assistant keeper and his family lived, starting in the over 100 years ago. And so they were very appreciative of the work that we had done and wanted to hear more about that. The second thing was that the two children, two girls, one is in university and the other one is working her way through the preteen years. Were interested in the stories, and they were interested in such things as my pontifications about whales, and also about the women who have been the keepers, some of the keepers of our lights. So we had an afternoon of just such an enjoyable time together. Great questions, great discussions. We talked about a lot of other things besides just the history of Point Robinson. And I always am enthusiastic when I'm given the opportunity to pontificate on all of those subjects. So my thanks to that particular family, and that is Amy and Will and their two kids. And that leads me to the book, because after their visit, I had a signal from Amy, and she asked me a couple of questions. And one of them had to do with Eagle and why the Coast Guard continues to train and sail. And I may dedicate some time in a future broadcast to that particular subject and Eagle. But the second question that she asked me was about the women who have taken care of the lights and here in America. And I said that in my reply to that, I said that there was a book that, and that's the book, this book, our book for this week. The title of it is Women Who Kept the Lights, An Illustrated History of Female Lighthouse Keepers. It is in its second edition, which is remarkable in itself. And the authors are Mary Louise and J. Candace Clifford, C-L-I-F-F-O-R-D, Clifford. I recommend this book because it has a huge amount of information, some wonderful photographs, and I pointed out that one of the ways that the Coast Guard recognizes this is that we have traditionally named our cutters that tend the lighthouses in days of yore when lighthouses had to be tended. And now the aids to navigation, like buoys, we have traditionally named those ships for trees and plants and shrubs. In the lighthouse, there is a print, a gift from another one of my most loyal and dedicated listeners, listens every week live, and of the Coast Guard cutter Fur. And but that we built a series of tenders, and some of those bear the names of lady lighthouse keepers. So I recommend Women Who Kept the Lights, and I thank this particular family for having given me a wonderful afternoon. And although I am a person of great hope for the future for a number of reasons, the young ladies who are their children amplified that hope because they were interested, and they are interested in things which tell me that they will be ready in their time to pick up the hawser and carry on the work that all of us have started, and some of us with some success, and some of us maybe we could have done better. The magazine that goes out today, the magazine this week, is, of course, my old favorite, The Week. And I go to the section which is called It Wasn't All Bad. This is in keeping with my mission on this program to make all of us feel just a little bit better about ourselves and about the world in which we live. So this is from the column called It Wasn't All Bad. And it reads as follows. A 95-year-old former psychiatrist who decided to return to education following the death of his wife has now received a master's degree in modern European philosophy. This is a gentleman of 96 years. David Marjo was given a standing ovation by his peers at Kingston University in Surrey when he collected his degree last month. He is now contemplating a part-time doctorate. I don't know what a part-time doctorate is. The University of Cambridge, my intellectual home, has no such thing, but maybe they do at Kingston University in Surrey. My memory is not quite what it used to be, but I was lucky to have world-class teachers, and it was a very positive experience, he said. And now his last sentence is part of my operating philosophy. It is important to always keep challenging yourself even as you get older. That from this week's The Week. Actually, it's not this week's because The Week comes to me from Europe, and this is the 10 February 2024, and that takes me to the best properties on the market section of The Week. And the title this week is Eye-Catching Properties in the East of England, and I have selected one which is comes from Essex, which is south of Cambridgeshire. And the name of the property is The Burrow in the town of Thaxted. This timber-framed farmhouse dates back to the 14th century. That means in the 1300s. Five bedrooms, two baths, somewhat rustic, I am sure. Kitchen, four reception rooms, that's living rooms, what we call a living room. Garden, and a garage. And it's for sale at £1.3 million. It does not have a thatched roof, but almost all the other houses in the collection for this week do indeed have thatched roofs. And that means that there are no mice living up in the roof. So we need to move along in a smart and seamanlike fashion here. Not only have we talked about Polar Sea completing her resupply into McMurdo, but I have all coasts. And these all coasts come to me as a fellow Coast Guardsman. And they are demonstrations of how baffling with whale hockey these things can get. Here is All Coast 77/24. The title of it is February 2024, Easing Administrative Requirements, Body Composition Screening Beta Test, Boat Crew Physical Fitness Test, and that is easing the administrative requirements. So I read this rascal, and all I can say is that it seems to me that all you need to do is everybody get on the scales. If it's too high, you do what you have to do to get it down. If it's too low, you do what you have to do to get it up. Maybe do 20 push-ups, and I am not denigrating the need for everybody to be physically fit, especially if you're going to see in Pacific typhoons. This comes from one who was challenged every so often by the annual need to demonstrate my compliance with the height and weight standards. The Captain's Weight Reduction Program, acronym CREP, was a part of my life for some time, some pieces of my life in the Coast Guard. And I never had any concerns. I would have just been amazed if I had gotten All Coast 77 easing administrative requirements, because, boy, they sure as hell didn't ease any administrative requirements. The second one is All Coast 89/24. This is the establishment of the Coast Guard Polar Coordination Office, CGPCO. I read this one as well. And I thought, aha, they are going back to the organization that we had that I headed up with my friend and colleague, Captain Dr. Professor Lawson Brigham, who has been with me, who's one of the great experts in particular of the Soviet Arctic, and will be on with me again soon. So I thought, well, they're returning to that organization. Not so. All this organization is going to do is to coordinate the Coast Guard's position in the polar regions, which seemed to me has been coordinated for, well, since the days of Mike Healy in Alaska, which takes me back to the 1850s and 1860s. Roaring Mike Healy, Captain Mike Healy, who for whom the Coast Guard cutter Healy is named. All of this is to tell you that once again, it seems to me that we need to get some people into headquarters organizations who will, first of all, field strip out some of these commissions and committees and organizations, because I'm going to give you next a Navy committee. So we need to have some fundamentals, back to basics. And those fundamentals would eliminate some of these committees and commissions. So here we go with one that came to me about the Red Hill. Everybody will remember that the big fuel facility in Red Hill, which is down from Tripler Army Hospital in Oahu, Honolulu. When you make your approach on the range going into the Honolulu Harbor or into Pearl, and you look up and you see the great big pink hospital building, that's Tripler Army Hospital, and just below that is Red Hill, and that's where there are military housing, including a large element of Coast Guard housing. And the fuel last year, the fuel dump that is also in Red Hill started leaking, and it leaked fuel into the water supply. And the Navy combated this by assigning a three-star admiral to be in charge of the task force that was going to get it all sorted out. They're still working on that task force that's still getting it sorted out. But in the meantime, here is the way that the Navy is dealing with the whole subject of water supplies in all of their installations. They have come up with a organizational requirement which further degrades command authority. One of the things that is establishing centralized oversight of water supplies in all naval installations in one particular unit, the part of the Navy which deals with their shoreside facilities, also headed up by a three-star. Busy, busy three-stars out there. And one of the things that happened is required as a result of this new initiative is that each command and then each supervisory command and each administrative command over those supervisors are going to establish drinking water committees. And these drinking water committees are going to meet and advise the commanding officers on how to manage their drinking water. We are moving far afield. I can only imagine. I remember not too long ago, I talked about SLJOs, and for the word S, I used the phonetic equivalent, Sierra, little job officers. I can only imagine who are going to be assigned to the drinking water committees. And I can only imagine my own response if I were to get a directive from the commandant, let's say All Coast 94, that is going to say, among other things, Captain you are now required to add to the administrative workload that you are carrying along with commanding your search and rescue forces, your captain of the port forces, all of the other things that you're doing in the operational world. You are now going to establish a drinking water committee. I can hardly wait. In further concerns, we've talked a little bit about repair backlogs, in particular in the Navy. Another piece came to me this morning as I was writing out the notes for today's broadcast. A $1.2 billion, with a B, Bravo, repair contract for USS Boise, SSN 764. In other words, not a boomer, but an attack submarine. More than 7 years late. Now, what's going on with all of that? We hear all kinds of proclamations. We just got one from the Secretary of the Navy saying that he was holding all kinds of contractors accountable for their lateness. Well, the CNO certainly seems to me that this is not an insoluble problem. But I'm not on active duty anymore, and although I was a part-time naval officer as well as a Coast Guard officer, in that I served under Navy operational control for a good part of my career, no longer have the ability to do anything except broadcast my concern that all of these things continue to happen. And I keep hoping, well, we've got a new CNO. We have a new commandant. And I keep waiting for all of these wonderful things to happen. So the captain from the captain's chair is watching, keeping a weather eye on all. My last item, I have two quick items that I'm going to crank in here. The first one is a public service announcement for the magical Isle of Vashon. Belly dancing for the community on the first Saturday of March, the first Saturday of April, and the first Saturday of May. For those who feel the need to amplify their bodily movement, they can sign up for that. That's my public service announcement today. And my second announcement is that the Marine Corps very proudly is announcing that they are requiring barracks inspections. I don't understand this one. One of the functions of command is to frequently inspect the command in all of its aspects and then make sure that the corrective action is taken care of. When I was the commander in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, I inspected my barracks every week. I inspected the galley and the mess every week. And I had others of my officers inspect other parts of the command. Well, my disdain has now gotten us to the end of our time together. As always, this is your Captain Joe on station and watching properly. We will foregather here together next week. There'll be more good news from all over the world. Know how much I love, respect, honor every single one of Captain Joe's people. And we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again.